Now entering Nerdist.com.
You know, I rode an elevator up one story with Paul McCartney the other day.
Get the fuck out of here.
The God's honest truth.
Where was this at?
I was at the Four Seasons in Beverly Hills. I was there for a press day for Jupiter Ascending. And I just waiting in the lobby and heard like a familiar voice. And I'm like, oh, why don't I know that voice? And then I'm just like standing there by myself, not saying anything. He turns around and looks at me and like stares at me for a moment. I'm like, why is he staring at me?
Yeah.
Why do I know this guy? Then it dawns on me and he sees it dawn on me and then he turns around. I'm just like, were you waiting till I recognized you? And then he was just talking with like his wife or his trainer or someone. Yeah. I'm not sure. A pretty lady, and they were both in exercise gear. It was weird seeing Paul McCartney in like wind pants and exercise shoes.
If you ever see, regardless of where you're headed, if Paul McCartney gets on an elevator, you're going somewhere up that elevator. You're going to the floor above wherever he gets off.
I did not. I was like, I gotta make it for an interview. So I should have changed my plans. But
no matter what, you ride that elevator hoping he doesn't get off at the top floor.
I missed my chance. I missed my opportunity to ask him to be on the podcast.
Yeah.
And B,
what he thinks of Kanye.
To be like,
how's your new project?
How come you never hosted Shining Time Station?
Yeah. You missed out.
Why did Ringo get all the glory?
Ladies and gentlemen, Dan just failed this city. If
you have failed this city.
Oliver Queen killed me because I didn't get Paul McCartney on a podcast. Do the Beatles exist in the DC universe?
They better.
I don't think they do.
They have to. They exist.
Have like no. Well, that's because Marvel uses real cities. They have New York. DC has Gotham.
DC had the Roodles. DC had the monkeys.
The caterpillars.
This is a fun episode.
Yeah, this is a very fun episode, you guys. If this is your first time listening to Today We Learned, welcome. Took you so long? Doesn't matter. Happy you're here.
We're happy you're here, and boy, do you have a catalog to catch up on.
Boy, howdy.
Bo diddly.
Scatman Carruthers.
Skiddly-dap, ba-doodly-doo-bop.
Dee-dap-bow.
Christopher
Williams. But we're not here to talk scat. That's on our other scatcast.
Today we scatcast.
Today we scatted. Guys, today, if you're a fan of Flight of the Conchords, if you're a fan of cult comedies like Eagle versus Shark, if you remember
Men in Black 3.
Yes, specifically the villains.
If you're a fan of the villains of the Men in Black franchise.
If you're a fan of forthcoming vampire mockumentaries called What We Do in the Shadows.
What We Do in the Shadows.
Then hold on to your butts.
Yeah, if you're a fan of Kickstarter things.
Yeah, if you're a fan of crowdfunding or crowd fun.
Yeah.
Or just crowds.
Or crowding.
Yeah.
Crowding of elevators with Paul McCartney.
If you're a fan of the search engine Bing, get out. We don't want your ears.
We don't. I just read somewhere that Bing's cost Microsoft like $9 billion or $9 million,
Make the money.
It didn't make them Bing.
Thank you for putting Jonah Ray in your ads.
Yeah, thank you for that.
That was a fun couple of months where I hated loading Hulu videos.
Oh, man. It was literally everything. Like every video was.
Well, I'm sure they paid Jonah well, for which I'm happy for him.
I'm very happy.
It's a sacrifice I'm willing to make.
I would do that.
Jonah, I know you'll never hear this.
I'll be in a Bing commercial for a quarter of what you paid, Jonah.
For a quarter.
This is a great episode, guys. We have two very, very funny guests, two very knowledgeable guests.
Writers, directors, actors, gaffers, I presume.
Fans of vampires.
Mm-hmm.
Fans of...
Vampires.
They're
super into blood play. We all swapped blood at the end.
We're blood brothers for life.
Blow bros for loaf.
Hashtag blow bros. Hashtag. There's two hashtags.
Yes, that is the hashtag. Join the conversation.
Join the conversation. Spread the knowledge.
Yes.
Make it happy.
Find us on Pinterest under vision boards.
Yeah. This is episode 75.
75, you guys.
Guys, we've made it. We want to thank you. We're older than Batman, right? Or are we as old as Batman?
We're as old as Batman. Guys, today's episode is brought to you by P for Perseverance.
Yep. It's brought to you by the letter B for Perseverance.
And brought to you by the letter A for Always Believing in Yourself.
Yeah, it's ABC, you know? Always yeah. be leaving in your surveillance.
Yeah, something, something coffees for closers.
Put the coffee down.
Yeah.
What's your name? Fuck you, that's my name. The leads are weak. I was just quoting that for like 2 hours with my brother today. That 6 minutes that Alec Baldwin is in the movie.
It just storms into Glengarry Glen Ross yeah. and like a, if you a don't tornado.
Know, if you don't know what we're talking about, look up Alec Baldwin, Glengarry Glen Ross. Yeah. That scene's just very good. It's very great. It's inspirational to an extent.
Yeah. And then think twice about whether you earned that latte.
Yeah, exactly.
Did he close?
I don't know. But yeah, we're gonna get right into the show here. You guys are in for a treat.
Yeah.
It's very fun, very
like a creamsicle on a hot day. Yeah. This episode is a treat.
It's a treat.
Like a hot fudgicle on a cold day.
Yeah.
This episode is a treat.
It's a treat. It's you guys are gonna enjoy it. So mm-hmm. Let's just get right into it, and then everybody hate mail Dan for missing out on getting Paul McCartney on the show.
Guys, I tried.
Everybody sent him.
I'll that. Get you the roadie from Wings. I lifted the amps.
So tell us, roadie from Wings, what do you got coming up next week? Where can people find you?
I'm going to be at the Dockin' Reunion Show.
Dockin'. Alrighty. So today we learn
number 75 with Taika Waititi and Jermaine Clement.
Gentlemen. Let's broaden our minds.
All right. Hello and welcome to Today We Learned.
Hi, guys. How are you guys doing?
Pretty well. Thanks for asking. I'm speaking for the listener.
For the listener. Yeah. The listener just stopped.
I fight for everything. The users. I speak for the listeners.
This is a fun episode.
Yeah,
man.
I'll say.
Yeah.
We got a couple exciting guests.
Oh, very exciting.
And they have a brand new movie coming out, What We Do in the Shadows, an exciting vampire mockumentary. Very funny guys.
It's a very funny movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've seen it.
Ooh.
I've seen it. I've saw it. Everybody, all the listeners, I'm going to preface this. I'm just going to cover all my bases because I always confuse which usage of scene and saw.
Yeah. Don't let the listener dictate what participle you use.
You
should say everyone and then edit.
Yeah.
Every
region that this is released. It's a very funny movie.
Yeah.
I like it.
Thank you. So lovely.
Neither of you want to because you both don't know how to say my name.
No, I do. I do. And I know this because you guys were just on Doug Loves Movies.
We were discussing how to
And I was listening to it. I'm like, I'm going to listen to it to see how Doug pronounces it.
Research. Right.
Yeah.
So we have with us Jermaine Clement and Taika Waititi.
Wow.
Both of them. So good.
Yeah.
You got both
every
of them.
Every interview and podcast, it gets better and better.
Yeah. Well,
they all listen to
the previous one and then.
Previously
on Taika.
Well, hi. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for being here, guys.
Also, you guys you were in the Humor Beasts. You guys go way back.
We are the Humor Beasts.
We were the Humor Beasts.
Yeah.
We still are, but we haven't gone by that name for a while.
Yeah.
That was Jermaine and I.
We just go by our normal names these days.
It's Tucker and Jermaine. We just did a lot of kind of theatrical comedy, really.
Like sketch stuff?
Sketches and plays. Plays. Nice. Plays and stuff, yeah.
I like it.
Now we're making movies.
You're making vampire movies.
Yeah,
vampire
movies. I was intrigued in particular that you guys went with the mockumentary style. What about that in particular attracted you to the genre?
It's that we wanted to make it a mockumentary about something you couldn't really document.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm glad they do show up on film, I'm pleased to know.
They do, sometimes on old cameras they don't show up in your viewfinder. A lot mm-hmm. of people get confused about
yeah.
this.
Yeah.
I think people say, how do they show up in your camera? It's because
you don't understand how cameras work. The mirror lifts up when the photo's taken.
The shutter exposes directly onto the film. So even in old cameras, digital cameras, they all work. They don't work with mirrors. But I think what's been happening is a lot of people have gone to take a photo of a camera, looked in the viewfinder, and the viewfinder has a mirror, so they...
You can't frame up.
Mm-hmm. I can't see them. It's not going to work, but they don't even bother recording it or pressing the button.
It's the whole movie is just this, like, there's no vampires in the movie at all. It's just the sounds of them talking, like, where things floating, objects floating.
It's a podcast.
Around.
Yeah, it's a
mockumentary podcast. It's the next logical step.
So, sometimes.
Okay, what about vampires, obviously? Did you base it on any particular vampire mythos? You just try to weave together a bunch of different strands?
We took the most recurrent and, you know, the dominant ones.
Mm-hmm.
We don't recognize Twilight.
It's not part of the canon.
You don't blaspheme this. This podcast is over.
Yeah. Well, we reference it.
The major difference.
We don't give it as much recognition.
The major difference is in Twilight, when they go into the sun, they sparkle, and that's why they avoid the sun.
Yeah.
And
they're too noticeable.
We think that's a dangerous message to send to vampires.
Yeah.
Obviously,
especially young vampires who watch that, young impressionable,
only a couple centuries old.
A lot of kids are probably becoming vampires because of Twilight, and they can't wait to get out in the sun.
Absolutely.
With catastrophic
be who you
results.
Are you know it's like that Coca-Cola commercial, you know, be happy.
There's been fewer teen pregnancies, but way more teen undead thralls,
vampire deaths.
Sunlight
accidents, we call them.
So we usually like to start off the show with our guests giving a fact about themselves, something that people might not know about them, maybe something they learned recently.
A fact about yourself.
Yeah, or anything. No, it doesn't have to be about yourself. Okay. That was just
he misplaced the comma.
A fact about yourself you've learned recently.
Yeah, maybe just had an epiphany.
Yeah, or anything, you know, something you learned recently. Regardless, you know, there's zero rules to this show.
Okay,
really.
Just a fact.
So, yeah, a fact.
Just a fact. Yourself can be involved, but it's not a prerequisite.
Yeah, you can lay it on us.
Okay. The word Arctic is in the Arctic, the North Pole. Is from the ancient Greek arctos, meaning bear. And so Arctic literally means has bears. Antarctic means doesn't have bears. And that's how you can remember which one has polar bears. Because there are no polar bears in the South Pole. And whenever they have commercials or anything where polar bears and penguins are hanging out, that's not realistic. They do not hang out. They're in different poles.
So Coca-Cola has been lying to us with their ads.
Yeah. Question.
So there are no penguins up north in the Arctic, then.
No.
I did not know
That's bears, remember? Yeah. Arctic bears. Means has bears.
It's also Greek for no penguins.
Yeah.
But that is a handy trick for remembering if you're planning out your Arctic or Antarctic vacation.
If you're worried about polar bears, go to the Antarctic.
That's why they have all the scientists in the Antarctic.
If you're worried about penguins.
If you're worried after seeing penguins of Madagascar,
but you love bears,
if
you're a bear lover,
if you're Werner Herzog, then go to the Arctic.
Yeah,
polar bears,
yes,
in particular. Yeah,
West Hollywood also has a lot of bears.
Oh, it's
all animal control.
Well, I haven't learned anything recently that I can remember. I just cannot remember. Interesting people. Yeah.
Often
I didn't learn anything from them.
Yeah.
Often when I hear you having conversations, you're talking, you're saying something about yams.
About how amazing yams are.
Yeah, something about
yams.
Something about a crop planting.
Oh, well, okay, this is actually a really interesting fact.
Yes.
Have you heard of the Three Sisters?
No.
Okay, well, the Three Sisters is beans,
mm-hmm.
squash, and corn. And they're called the Three Sisters because when you co-plant them together, each plant supports the other two. So beans, they wrap around the corn and they provide stability for the corn when it's growing. The squash anchors both those plants to the ground, and all three of those plants, when you eat them together, when you combine them, they form a perfect protein.
Oh, wow.
So that's the Native Americans that was one of their secrets.
Oh, yeah. So there's nothing about yams.
Nothing about yams. Nothing about yams.
Yam related.
Oh, I know.
Yam adjacent.
That's one thing I did discover. I really love yams.
And it's known as companion planting, where you plant things that
He's reading this. He's not just agreeing. He's reading.
You should preface this. That's right. I remember.
It's the three sisters.
Planting.
You mean the planting method that appeared on the back of the 2009 Sacagawea coin?
Yeah, that's exactly what I mean. I mean, these squash leaves also act as living mulch type of planting.
Wow. That is really cool, though.
Yeah, that is really neat. Yeah. It's,
more a farming podcast.
Yeah.
That's our spinoff. Yeah, Today We Farmed.
So to use a thick grain mulch or a thin grain mulch for optimal results.
What's interesting, too, about like that type of stuff is how long, because they've been farming for, thousands of years or whatever.
Who have?
The Native Americans. Oh, yes. And to discover,
humans,
the sister.
As well. Humans.
They have. Those humans.
The royal they.
You can't see these guys.
Yeah. But they're they. They is a massive populace. And it's like things like that where you learn that over time. Like, hey, let's try and plant, these squashes with these vine plants to anchor them. And it's like, it's all trial and error, I guess. You wonder how they decide to do that.
Many, many seasons of trial and error when they planted squash with bananas and didn't work. And
no.
Tomatoes.
Also, they just don't. It's just not a good meal blending squash and bananas together.
The stuff that would you'd want to eat together.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
That's more a smoothie culture.
Yeah. The ancient smoothie cultures.
The original Jamba Juice.
The Jamba Tribe.
You gentlemen are both from New Zealand.
Correct.
Okay.
Learning all kinds
of things. So we've been led to believe.
So another thing I've learned today.
Yeah. I did not know that. Milford Sound. Milford Sound. Is that how you pronounce
Milford
that, right?
Sound,
yep. Milford Sound. Is one of New Zealand's most famous tourist destinations, correct?
Correct.
Right. It is a fjord in the southwest of New Zealand's South Island within Fiordland National Park. Now, apparently, I'm reading, it is technically, it's incorrectly named.
It's also inhabited by MILFs.
Ooh.
So many.
It's a fjord of MILFs.
What is the sound that they make?
Word.
Oh, wow. See, the more you know.
What were you about to say?
Oh, no, I'm just thinking of how you guys should do next to a mockumentary about just, like, frat boys going to Milford to, like, bang hot moms.
Oh, okay.
Stupid. That's why.
Just a quick elevator pitch.
That's why I make zero movies.
Yeah, well.
But the irony is, though, a lot more people would watch that than would watch.
That's why you show them as a double
independent
feature.
Independent film. Yeah.
An evening of mockumentaries. And Rudyard Kipling actually called Milford Sound the eighth wonder of the world.
Yeah.
I feel like there's been a bunch of people dubbing things Eighth Wonder of the
I've
World.
I've heard
Would
that.
You?
I'm sorry about my ignorance. I've heard that name a lot. Who's that guy?
Rudyard Kipling.
He's an author. Those stories.
Okay.
You know all those stories where it's how the leopard got his spots, right? How it came to
he
be.
He wrote the Jungle Book.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I've seen that.
A bunch of other short stories. Gunga Din. He was a...
Seen that?
No. Oh, Jumanji.
Jumanji.
Yeah, see, he inspired the film Eve. Jumanji.
Yeah.
Night at the Museum.
He was like a British colonial.
Yeah, he was. He was a British colonialist. Lived in Bombay for a good portion of his life. Wrote a lot of short stories, poems. One of his most famous ones was that poem, "The White Man's Burden," which was dissected in English classes across the land. I remember studying that in high school.
I couldn't tell you one thing about poetry. So I'm
what
just
about the white man's burden?
Yeah. It's super heavy.
What's it like?
It's real tough.
Yeah. I'm quarter Māori, so I don't. I know three quarters.
Yeah,
what
I half know.
Yeah. I know.
There's a lot of
hard out there.
It's hard out there for a half Māori.
Yeah.
There's a lot of interbreeding in New Zealand. That's another thing. A lot of racial mixing. I know.
We're cool with it.
We're fine with it.
Yes, please.
People have been coming around to it.
Over here, yeah. It's
It's a hot new trend.
But it seems more like a thing. It's still a thing.
It seems more like a sort of niche thing you find on the website.
Well, no, they had... Exactly. Yeah, just sort...
But if you've been told that... if the races can't mix, it's not true. They can mix. You can mix them together.
Proof. Jermaine and I.
We've tried it ourselves.
Here to plug our movie and also just to tell the world that interracial mixing works.
You can produce offspring.
Finally, we have a conclusive answer.
Exclusive on Today We Learn. Milford Sound is apparently incorrectly named.
Why is that?
Because a sound is in fact a large sea or ocean inlet larger than a bay, deeper than a bight and wider than a fjord, while Milford Sound is formed by the actions of glaciers. So geologically, a fjord is a long, narrow inlet with steep sides or cliffs created by glacial erosion. So technically, Milford Sound is a fjord.
We cannot let that get out. New Zealand Tourism Board will collapse.
They could just, they could save they on that signage news. By like Mill Fjord. That's just
no. We've just
I think it would help because no one knows what a sound is.
Yeah. I didn't know until I'm reading this and I'm like I was like compiling some facts. And I'm like,
what is it classified as? What should it be?
It should be a fjord. It should be a fjord.
If I was on the boat with the explorers that named it that, I would have just come back with what you said.
I think
you'll find
it's a fjord.
You're making a huge mistake.
Milford Fjord.
You're gonna be so embarrassed in a couple thousand years.
This is why nobody knows what sounds are, because the standard usage would be a strait. So like, you know, most people refer, like, you have the straits, and that's technically what a sound is. So sound is kind of like
it's a lost word because everyone uses straight.
Yeah, everybody uses the straight.
We also have the Marlborough sounds. I wonder if they're actually
sounds.
Do you want to look up Marlborough?
Yeah.
M-A-R-L.
M-A-R-L.
B-O-R.
Like the cigarette brand exactly. With a G-H at the end.
Yeah. It's only because we have to go back to New Zealand and tell everyone these things are wrong. This is what we learned.
We got to make some changes.
Marlborough Sound. Now, does that look more like a sound?
They're an extensive network of sea-drawn valleys at the north end of the South Island of New Zealand.
Sea-drawn valleys. They should be Marlborough sea-drawn valleys.
The Marlborough Sounds were created by a combination of land subsidence and rising sea levels at the north of the South Island.
They're very beautiful.
Yeah, it sounds
like...
these
pictures look amazing. There's even a space shuttle in this one.
Yeah, holy cow.
Oh, yeah, just a space shuttle cruising.
That one that's always just chilling above New Zealand.
Spying on our sounds.
Stealing our secrets.
The secrets of our New Zealand
recording,
sounds.
Always
going,
recording.
Wait a minute, that's a fjord.
Wait till they hear about this on American podcast.
They don't have sounds.
Well, here's another interesting fact. Japan has the highest number of vending machines per capita pretty much anywhere in the world, with about one machine for every 23 people.
It doesn't surprise me.
No, I've been there multiple times, and they do have vending machines pretty much everywhere you look for pretty much every conceivable thing. And
I'm just going to conceive of a thing or two and see if I've got one.
Try me.
Well, I know they've got the underpants ones.
Yes, they do.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask.
They're not as prevalent as like the soft drink machines, but... Mm.
But
do they
have shoelace vending machines?
Presumably. Hmm. I would be shocked.
It's every conceivable vending machine they have.
Exactly. I was very clear.
What about...
But there's also...
Yes, they have
There are more vending machines in Japan than there are people in New Zealand, according to this.
Yeah.
Are you making fun of us?
No.
Okay. No, just joking.
I didn't say
just
they're joking. More valuable.
I was only joking, but he looked really worried that he'd offended me. That, in New Zealand, that is a big insult to say there are more vending machines.
What are you saying about our numbers?
Country. There's 4 million people in New Zealand, so how many vending machines are there in Japan?
4,000,001.
Wow, it's just they just beat us.
Well, yeah,
just
keep breeding. We got some more breeding going on.
Yeah. So you'd have one more baby.
More breeding, less dying.
Yeah.
Well, let's see here. So Japan, see what if it says the population here. Population estimates of 2014 are 126.4 million. So if one out of every 23...
They really go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Four. That's about it. That makes sense. I'm going to stop doing the math.
The math works out.
Yeah. Smaller than New Zealand, isn't it? Is it? Can we find that out? Land
the
mass?
Area, the total area is 377.9, so 378 kilometers.
What?
145.9 square miles.
Of Japan.
Of Japan. So
yeah, it's big. It's bigger than you'd expect.
You look flabbergasted.
That just sounded really small. Yeah.
Well, it's not to scale on the map.
Yeah.
That's usually my issue with it.
The
it's as big as my little finger on this map.
It's, how am I supposed to visit?
Believe it or not, it's only... The New Zealand's area is 268 kilometers squared, square kilometers, 103.4 square miles. So there's only really... it's like 150. No, it's 109. It's only 109 square thousand, 109,000, yeah, 109,000 square. So it's
comparable.
It's not that much bigger. It's not
we
like
could
it's,
do better.
Yeah, it's not that much bigger.
Start Did making some man-made islands.
Yeah, we have a lot of space.
Yeah, 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 definitely.
Don't tell people. So all the land's taken up.
There was
it's all taken up. Every square foot.
Nothing left for anyone else. So don't come down there.
I was reading. Speaking of that, I read a thing on Reddit. It was a similar study where if everybody lived as compact as if you take the population of Manhattan and as packed as it is on Manhattan, and put the entire world's population in that size of ratio, they would all fit in New Zealand.
How many people live in Manhattan? They would definitely fit in. I mean, there must be a similar population, no?
About 1.6 million people about, live in Manhattan.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
I'm going off estimates from 2013.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know a couple of people who've moved there since then.
Yeah. So we could probably bump that up to 1.8 million.
There's like a...
What about Brooklyn?
Brooklyn?
I want to see if there are more people in Brooklyn than in New Zealand.
2.59 million.
Okay, so if you add Brooklyn to Manhattan.
Yeah, then so then you'd have like 4.1, 5.1.
That's about the population of New Zealand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just those two boroughs.
Yeah, yeah. So, small. Yeah, there's a lot of people here.
Who wore it better?
New Zealand's got way more. I'd almost rather live in New Zealand than New York, only because I like to hike and I like the outdoors.
We have a lot of outdoors.
Yeah, yeah.
You would love
so
it.
So we've heard. Although I've heard conflicting reports on this very podcast.
New York.
We don't have that many doors.
Yeah. It's a lot of just open entryways.
Yeah, just getting up to go to the bathroom is classified as biking.
He's joking, but I did have a house like that.
Long hallways?
No, just the
drop.
The toilet and the bath were outside.
Oh, lovely. Nice outhouse.
Yeah.
The New Zealand apparently was, I was reading, was uninhabited up to like 900 years ago. It's a very new, very new country. And that's...
Yeah.
And it's located...
So how's that been working out?
It's good.
So far, so good.
More people are coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's something. You guys, what we do in the shadows is about vampires. Did you do a lot of vampire research?
Yeah.
Did you try and, you know, obviously you took from a lot of things to, you know, researching of vampires and all that. What
mainly movies, but also we did read, you know, books about vampire folklore and, you know, Eastern European
stories.
Books where they'd like put fake bits of. Drops of blood on the pages and stuff. And made the pages look like old parchment.
Very detailed.
Really,
stayed in coffee first.
Very, very reliable source.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Burned the edges to make it look
What's your favorite vampire movie?
I would say probably Let the Right One In.
Nice. Oh, the original or the remake?
The remake is Let Me In.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
I really love The Lost Boys, but I think think Coppola's Dracula is really good because of the effects. Everything's in camera, and I love all their old style.
Yeah.
And it's over the top. acting as well. It's so good.
So here's, you want to hear some vampire facts?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Some vamp facts.
Lay them down.
This is what we learned. And this is all true. Well, you know.
100% true.
Stuff that was written down that we remember.
You can't lie to book.
Yeah.
There's no way to fact check
if it's got
real
blood droplets on it.
We got DNA evidence. Like it's been singing lie now.
Okay, one way to get rid of a vampire is to take one of his socks, put garlic in it, tie the sock up, and throw the sock in the river, and the vampire will follow it.
Interesting. Is he's drawn to his clothing?
He just wants it back. He just wants the sock back.
Do not.
Just like everyone else, vampires don't carry extra socks around. And, I mean, the hard part is getting the sock off him. And what happens, all rivers lead to the sea and down to the river mouth, and you'll find lots of vampires down there trying to sort out their socks. Is that your sock? Yeah. No, that's not.
Well, that's why
sock.
I've
got a stripy sock, and then they've got to untie and get rid of the garlic. It's just a hassle for them, so it just gets rid of them for a while. And they're I'm not going back to that village.
Yeah, that's why in Lost Boys they hung out on the beach because they were just waiting for all the socks.
All the socks, yeah.
And sandals do not suit them.
Just hang out by their dryer.
It's
they have
true,
to wash
you never
the socks
see
and
vampires in sandals.
Yeah, it's not a doesn't really work with the whole cowl. It's a little
and Crocs. And Crocs.
Vampire shit.
They dry.
Okay, here's another one from Eastern
Croc
European.
Dracula.
Nice. Well, I like that. Here's another one from Eastern European folklore. Vampires can transform into a number of things, and one of them is a pumpkin.
Wow.
I've never seen a vampire and a pumpkin in the same place.
I think that was just something made up by someone trying to discredit the local pumpkin seller. Don't buy his pumpkins. Could be a vampire.
Someone using the Three Sisters method of agriculture, jealous of local gourd salesmen.
I just envision like that type of logic because that existed at some point.
There wasn't the one about like if like a woman either like looks at you funny or like refuses your advances, it's possible she's a vampire.
I think you said that and it was lesbian.
Yeah. Oh, she's probably a lesbian.
or a vampire. Either or.
There is something like if there is some sort of thing like blood in the drawn in the milk or in the afterbirth or something like that, that the child's a vampire. I can't remember.
Or if a bat flies over your grave.
No, when the water breaks and there's blood in it,
The child's a vampire.
I'm not a doctor. This is Eastern European folklore from centuries ago. So I wouldn't take this as a fact.
I think that comes from a doctor who didn't like the sight of blood and was grossed out and then ran away. I just don't want to go back
this
there. It's probably a vampire.
This is what you get for conceiving in sin.
So one thing I'm reading something I pulled up a list of vampire facts. This one comes from the vampire book.
You don't have to say facts like that.
Well, I'm
actual
not
facts.
It's from facts.randomhistory.com, so that's why I'm not positive. Not familiar with their website, but this is from the vampire book, the Encyclopedia of the Dead, published by J. Gordon Melton. So take it up with him. But the idea that sunlight can kill vampires is a modern invention.
Yes.
And rumored to have been started by the U.S. government to scare superstitious gorillas in the Philippines, like gorilla fighters, not like powerful apes, in the 1950s. And sunlight can be used by vampires to kill other vampires, as Anne Rice showed in Interview with the Vampire.
Wait a minute.
It's actually,
How does that discourage gorillas?
Maybe discourage them from coming out during the day, or maybe
because
I don't know.
They're vampire gorillas?
Or maybe oh no, to prevent them from attacking at night because vampires could
be
come
vampires.
Out then.
Go, so they're
they
encouraging
don't really elaborate.
Them to go out in the daytime.
I think what they did is they sent a memo to the enemy and said, turns out you guys are vampires and you aren't allowed out in the daytime.
Oh no,
damn it. Well, everyone stay inside.
Yeah, so we don't have night vision goggles for gorilla fighters.
The actual that the in the about the sunlight, the it ties into Bram Stoker's Dracula and Nosferatu.
You know it's Bram Stoker.
Bram Stoker. Yeah.
He's talking about
I'm talking about the adult version.
Stroker.
The Stoker. Yeah. Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Bam Stoker.
Yeah. It's hard. But it's hard not to say Stroker.
Yeah.
Because I've had to say Bram Stoker a lot, and sometimes Stroker does slip.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's the sequel to Debbie Does Dallas. Debbie Does Transylvania.
Bram strokes the Dracula.
Sunlight in Bram Stoker's Dracula, sunlight isn't fatal, but instead it drained most of his powers. The sunlight being deadly was created and first introduced in the 1922 film Nosferatu, which is when it depicted being deadly as vampires.
So Dracula, according to Bram Stoker, was like a reverse Superman.
Yeah.
Sunlight sapped his strength.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Superman is a hero created here in the States.
Yeah. Tell me more about the Superman. Yeah.
Name is Clark Superman.
Yeah. Right, okay. Yeah.
Lives off of La Brea over there. Okay. And he doesn't work on Sundays also.
Yeah, he's a food blogger.
Nosferatu, here's something about Nosferatu. Fun fact. The film, shot in 1921, was released in 1922. It was an unauthorized adaptation of Dracula, and they ended up. That's why they had to change they changed Count Dracula to Count Orlok, and instead of using the word vampire, they used Nosferatu, and they ended up losing to Stoker's heirs and family in the lawsuits, and the Stoker heirs forced them to destroy all copies of the film and all of that, but one survived. And it ended up getting
Plays.
And it still plays.
Wow.
That one film luckily.
Yeah.
And now it's like one. It's holds the, as of 2014, it is Rotten Tomatoes' second best reviewed horror film of all time.
Wow. And the Stokers almost destroyed it.
Yeah.
How do they feel about it now?
Yeah.
I'd love to see what the Stokers, how they feel about it.
Oh, but it is pretty outrageous of those film people to just change the name.
Yeah.
And let's just do this book with a different name.
Well,
never know. This is Hollywood.
Back to back to Twilight in a sense, changing names. That 50 Shades of Grey movie started off as Twilight fan fiction.
Mm.
And they just changed the names for that.
It's true.
Yeah.
But he's not a vampire though.
I don't think so.
No, he just works in finance.
You find out at the end. He preys on the weak and sucks the lifeblood out of their finances.
Yeah,
it's a metaphor.
Yeah.
What if you have?
But you find out at the end of the third one, he is a vampire.
What if like all the women who didn't finish the book, they just read the sex scenes, go to see the movie, and it turns out he is a vampire, and they leave like just so upset. And so
we made some changes for the film version.
I think it'll be the perfect movie.
So you guys in What We Do in the Shadows, you guys had a character that looks a lot like Count Orlok.
Yeah.
Peter.
Mm-hmm. He's an 8,000-year-old vampire in the movie.
Nice.
And you just changed his name.
That's true. That's true.
A proud tradition.
And then the Nosferatu people family, they're going to get us.
Shut us down. Oh, man.
We're going to destroy every copy but one.
Like that one Jerry Lewis movie. Was it Sending the Clowns or something? Have you guys heard about this? Jerry Lewis made a film and was so embarrassed by it or so ashamed of it that he's destroyed every copy but pretty much one, and he's the only one who has it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's like the Highlander of movies.
He just watches it over and over again.
Yeah. I
should have used a Dutch angle.
he could have done a
funnier face than that.
That would have been a great place for a hey lady.
it's getting to be Oscar season.
Okay.
We've been snubbed.
I'm pretty sure we've been snubbed.
Yeah.
Nosed pistols.
Someone pointed this out to me. What's the Imitation Game got on Rotten Tomatoes? It's something like 90, right? What We Do in the Shadows is 93, not in the Oscars.
What is it? It's
at 90%, Imitation Game.
Check out What We Do in the Shadows. It's
93%.
It's as though the Academy doesn't even go to RottenTomatoes.com.
They don't. I mean, it's they. Unfortunately, like,
they go by IMDb's top 250.
I to an extent, like, I agree with everything, with the logic, you know, because there's so many movies that seem to do better, or even just even box office receipts at some point. And it's like, I don't know, like, they always complain about viewership being down, but yet they always have movies that 80% of middle America, right, you know, the populace doesn't even see.
Well,
you know,
my other question is,
ours is both.
Well
reviewed and people don't see it.
Yeah.
Has the film debuted yet? Is it in theaters yet?
Not in America.
Okay.
So you're saying next year. Okay.
Because
that makes
that would
better.
Make it eligible for the 2015-2016 Oscar season.
Cool, okay.
But
I guess we should probably move here.
So start campaigning.
They don't watch comedies.
Yeah.
And
those.
But then again,
comedies that are always winning Oscars all the time.
The Lego movie also came out in March in this time frame, and it got snubbed.
Conspiracy.
Conspiracy.
The plot thickens.
The Academy hates vampires, and they hate Lego.
They're in the pocket of Big Playmobil and Big Werewolf.
Yeah.
I think as soon as a film gets to 90% on Rotten Tomatoes,
just get one.
The government should step in.
You at least
just give an Oscar.
They at least should send you a Golden Globe.
Send them something.
Yeah.
It's hard to get up there.
A soccer trophy.
Get up there.
Even just a tomato.
Yeah, well, don't they...
a really fresh one.
Don't they send, like, I know they get a certified fresh statue, a little statuette.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, you actually do get a little statuette if your movie is reviewed to a certain point where it's certified fresh.
Oh, right.
So...
Well, we need... I think we need, like, 4 or 5 more reviews for that to get certified.
And I know some people at Rotten Tomatoes. I'll have a word with my friends over there.
Yeah, you guys have currently 43 reviews.
So that should be.
Yeah.
It's not enough.
Haven't reached the statuette threshold.
Listen to this count. 40 are fresh reviews. 3 of them are rotten.
3 are rotten.
3 people out there don't like cool things.
Yeah.
One's variety.
One's variety.
We said, 3 people out there don't like cool things.
They hate cool things.
Yeah.
Everything.
Exclusive.
Everything I've ever made, variety is hated.
Everything I've been involved with has got a bad review in variety. So I would feel wrong if I got a good review in variety.
It's like it's like a good luck charm at this point.
I don't really mind. No one in New Zealand has heard of variety.
They're not getting variety delivered daily.
They're not giving out the free copies in New Zealand.
More into deadline.
I'm so worried that all those people who are in waiting rooms in offices, advertising offices, are going to read those variety for free.
I don't.
Here's a free review. Let's check out these free reviews. Free terrible reviews.
Should I read this magazine
really good films?
Or stare at my cell phone until they call me in?
Yeah.
I don't take someone's word for something unless I pay hard-earned money for it. Here's $20. What'd you think of this movie?
That does make a difference.
And who are the other people?
Who cares? Let's not go over the bad reviews.
Yeah. Well, let's get back to the Oscars for a moment. Do you guys know?
Let's not go about bad reviews. Let's get back to us being snubbed at the Oscars.
Yeah, previously.
We do not know about the Oscars.
You don't know who's going to win?
Do you know who won the New Zealand Film Awards?
Yes.
I actually do. It was the...
as I remember.
Sorry, I was trying to pronounce it.
You know what? I've been snubbed from the Oscars pretty much every year of my life.
What?
This is outrageous. Yeah. This is just further proof that the Academy needs to take a hard look at its membership and reevaluate
what
they consider to be high art.
What about that cute video you did of your daughter doing a scary face on your phone?
No.
Snubbed.
That was considered for best documentary short, from what I read, in Variety.
I don't know, man. The system's got to change, guys.
Yeah. And it starts with you, the podcast listener.
What were we going to ask about the Oscars?
Do you guys know where the name came from?
The Oscars?
Yes.
Oscar de Laurentiis.
Close.
Right.
Close. According to a biography of Bette Davis, it claims she named the Oscar after her first husband, bandleader Harmon Oscar Nelson. And one of the earliest mentions in print of the term Oscar dates back to a Time magazine article in 1934 from the 6th Academy Awards. Walt Disney's also quoted thanking the Academy for his Oscars early as 1932.
Another claimed origin is the Academy's executive secretary, Margaret Herrick. She first saw the award in 1931. She made reference to the statuette, reminding her of her Uncle Oscar, a nickname for her cousin.
Oh, you're that
Pierce.
Gold guy.
Yeah.
He was always
with no face.
Yeah.
That featureless gold man. Who
my hairless,
stood outside.
Smooth skinned, golden god of a cousin.
George Hamilton. No.
And columnist Sidney Skolsky, he was present during the naming and sees the name in his byline. Employees have affectionately dubbed their famous statuette Oscar. The trophy was officially dubbed the Oscar in 1939 by the Academy. So,
yeah.
Betty Davis.
It's also the name of when you plant four different things in the ground that work.
Yeah, it's when you.
Yeah.
Before Oscar.
It's when you get those three. It's when you get those three vegetables on top of your steak.
Here's a completely unrelated fact to movies or vampires or anything like that. It's getting kind of warm in the studio here. The AC tends to go out or whatever. And we do have a fan.
What temperature is it in the studio?
Do you want Kelvin, Celsius?
We use
or...
Celsius.
Yes.
But I think Celsius and Fahrenheit will be appropriate for.
Lovely. Yeah.
We don't have a barometer in here or a
barometer to measure air pressure. We need a thermometer.
I was going to ask the air pressure in here.
Yeah. We're getting there.
There's a lot of pressure in here.
Yeah.
Air wise.
As far as fans go, we have a fan going on in here blowing, you know, circulating some of the air here. The Punkha fan was used in India in the early 500 BC. It was a handheld fan made from bamboo strips or other plant fiber that could be rotated or fanned. During British rule, the word came to be used in a special sense by Anglo-Indians to mean a large swinging fan fixed to the ceiling and pulled by a servant called a punkawala. A punka, Hindi pankai, is a type of fan used since the early 500 BC. The word panka originated from pank, the wings of a bird which produced a draft when flapped. And in 1882, Philip Dale introduced the electric ceiling fan.
Can you order the one that the guy pulls online?
Amazon.com. Yeah. Free shipping if you have an Amazon Prime.
Yeah, other customers bought this with a giant fern leaf.
I was just thinking of the poor guy having to pull that fan all day.
Yeah. It's an honest living.
There's a person for everything back then, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Just one person would be like...
That's what they'd say instead of there's an app for interviews. Yeah.
There's a person for that. I'm trying to get on top of my elephant. I need a step. There's a person for that.
People, the original apps. Well, this is surprising. I just pulled up... an article.
Those are old photos.
Please explain this cantaloupe.
I was told that it would help me with my acting career.
Yeah.
And in a way it did.
Yeah,
I'm not ashamed, but I don't like to publicize them.
Well, I can see its echoes across your body of work.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. According to this, Johnny Knoxville of Jackass fame is the result of, quote, significant inbreeding, and this was discovered by a genealogist that he hired himself.
Hmm.
I don't know what to do with that information. I just really couldn't
so
be alone.
So there's two DNA strands,
yeah.
Right? And,
yeah.
And they were just both the same?
Yeah.
You worked with Johnny Knoxville, right?
I haven't. He was in Men in Black 2 and I'm in Men in Black 3.
Oh, that's right. That's
and you've worked within the same cinematic universe.
We're in the same franchise.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, my character may have come across him in the universe.
Yeah.
But I saw him in a store once.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now, so you guys started the Humor Beasts a long time ago. How did you guys first become acquaintances and start working together?
We met in the library.
The library.
The libraries are great places, guys. For those of you out there.
Free Wi-Fi, books.
Free Wi-Fi and books. Just so many books, so much information.
This was pre-Wi-Fi.
Yeah, it was pre-Wi-Fi. Yeah, we were both studying. Oh, actually, we're not even studying. We were hanging around waiting to do some auditions for... a theater show at university,
okay,
or college, and we've done the story a few times, but we both took an instant disliking to each other when we saw each other in the library, but then went on to discover that we both had a very similar sense of humor and a friendship blossomed from there.
Why did you dislike each other?
Well, I saw him across you know, a couple of desks across in the library, and there was a girl that he looked like he was helping to study, like leaning over and pointing at
her. It looked like I was helping her learn how to write with a pen.
Were you?
Yes.
Do you remember? Who was that girl?
Very helpful,
who was
helpful that girl? Person.
Do you remember?
She's a very grateful girl.
lovely, grateful girl who had never used a pen before.
But so now brave. Right. Who can write?
And she had managed to get to university level without this.
Yeah. Well, that's, yeah, getting in's the easy bit.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Her application essay dictated but not read.
Dictated.
Oh, guys, did we have to become sexist?
Yeah. We didn't have to. Guys, we didn't have option. To. We did.
It was an option.
Two paths to upgrade from
yellow wood. I was wearing like a Rusta beanie. Like,
oh, yeah?
You know, red, you know, red like yellow, and green beanie.
Tea cozy. And the Jamaican flag colors.
Yeah. Yeah. He didn't like that I was wearing that. And he was wearing like a...
not a fan of the Rastafarian
glasses.
Movement.
I was
wearing glasses.
Nerd.
Crush him. No, he was wearing a Samoan.
Like, why do all the jocks get to help the girls out of that?
I can teach her how to write.
I can teach her. She's not holding that pen right.
I was American then. from Happy Days.
Hey, man.
Jermaine was wearing like a tribal shirt, like a tribal, you know, with like tribal patterns on it and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, look at this guy. He's not like a tribal warrior from another culture.
And I was like, you're not in Bob Marley's Wailers.
So he is.
You're not a rude boy.
Yeah.
You're not neither of us
neither of us were being who we were.
You're a Babylon.
So you looked like you were in Bob Marley, and you looked like you were in Limp Bizkit, huh? With these tribals.
Well, by tribals he means Samoan tapa cloth.
Yeah, the Limp Bizkit of New Zealand.
Mm.
What would it be like? It's more like a Hawaiian shirt, I guess. Okay. But
so more like a Guy Fieri.
Yeah.
That's where I look at people in Hawaiian shirts. You're not Hawaiian.
You're just really
you're
angry
just a
about
party
it.
Animal.
You're just a tourist.
You're just relaxed.
You're just a really fun guy. You're just really
poke.
Nice.
What is it? The Simpsons Homer's like, there's only two guys who should wear Hawaiian shirts. Fat men and flaming homosexuals, and you are not flaming, sir. Something like that.
It was like I'm paraphrasing, but it was funny. It was with I think it was the episode with the dude who was like zap with the gun. He had that.
Oh, then it was the reverse because that's when Homer had to come to terms with his own nascent homophobia.
Yeah, Simpsons trivia for you that I missed that I got wrong.
My friend Pip Brown has seen every single Simpsons episode.
Really.
Didn't they just play every single one?
They play
over here, not in our
FX
country.
FX launched a new network. And to celebrate, well, they launched it a while ago, but when they acquired the Simpsons broadcasting rights for a ridiculous amount of money, they aired every episode of The Simpsons from start to finish.
I was at their house the other night. And
I'm glad they didn't stop it in the middle of the episode. Just go, next one.
Guy
this one.
Pauses, sorry.
This one's really good.
I have to use the bathroom.
I was at her house and one episode was on, and I said, have you seen this one? She said, oh, yeah, this is pretty recent. This was like 2003. She knew the year it came out, and she was like,
within the last 20 years, it's pretty recent. Last 25 years of its run.
Did you see the opening, the Simpsons opening that was like, I think maybe Don Hertzfeld had something to do with
it? That was incredible. The, Don, it went the off the rails. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But even like when he's like hitting the remote and then he's changing shape and stuff, like she watched that and she was like, oh, look, he's gone to 1989 Simpsons. Like, he's like, but Homer, he's like, she could even tell like what year
the
drawings changed and their body shape. And
did Don Hertzfeld do it in his style? Was it animated by him, black and white and all that?
It was. It starts in color and then.
There's a mixture of lots of things. I'm not sure if he did the entire thing, but. Looked like it.
Yeah. A lot of it was definitely in his sort of his style of
lines. That's the one where at the end it was like just like polygons and like shapes
and math.
Like weird,
yeah. And the character's saying, Simpson. Don't have cow.
Yeah. Just reduce them to their base elements.
Yeah, and they're just blobs.
How much would nobody understand if they did like the whole episode?
That's great.
So funny. All right, guys. Well, you know, we appreciate we're wrapping up here. We appreciate you guys for joining us.
Yeah.
We really appreciate it.
When is this coming out?
This will come out on Monday. This will be coming out on the 6th. Monday the 9th.
Yes.
Oh, today.
Yeah.
I'm pretending that we're doing it on the
10th. Yeah, it's coming out.
Well, we should mention
today. It's on now.
Today.
This has been live. We've been broadcasting the whole time.
From the future.
We'll get told off if we don't mention our Kickstarter.
No, do everything. Please. This is where this is
the part.
This is the part.
Cut that bit out. We'll just seamlessly segue into.
Yeah,
we don't want to be told off.
Yeah,
no. Mention.
We don't want to be told off. No one enjoys being told off. Paying.
I noticed you had.
We don't want you to get
read that pamphlet you walked in with.
Okay.
we're releasing in some cities. I can't remember all of them. You've got so many cities here. We're releasing.
Why do you need so many cities?
You don't need that many. Just
I said we should just drop it down to like 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many people would they have in each, on average?
Do the math.
Enough that could fit New Zealand.
How many vending machines is that?
So we're starting in New York and Los Angeles,
which we're in now, actually.
Yeah. And that is February the 13th.
Today when we're recording
Friday
this.
The 13th of February.
Ooh.
This week.
Which
yeah.
could be disastrous.
We're calling it Valentine's Day.
Okay. Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because theoretically, Vlad the Impaler... inspired Dracula, right?
Yes, that's true. And also Dracula inspired our character Vladislav, the poker.
Yes.
Then what?
Then we're going to some more cities, but we're doing a Kickstarter in which you can get all the merchandise. We only have one place for merchandise, and that is our Kickstarter. So if you get that merchandise and stuff on our Kickstarter, we'll put it into getting our film to more cities.
So it's a... It's a win-win situation for you, and it's a kind of win-then-lose situation for us. But then we win because people get to see it. But, so the more we make, the more cities it goes to. And we've got about six, seven days left on
Kickstarter. 7 days left.
No, because it's Monday, the 9th.
So we've only got
four days
left. Yeah. I don't know what we're at today on Monday, but we really need a big, strong push this week.
Maybe we've made it, but probably not.
So, yeah, go to that Kickstarter.
What we do in the shadows. We don't even know what the URL is.
You can get beautiful art prints.
If you just search what we do in the shadows, Kickstarter. It will pop up right away.
Good.
Yeah. Dan, do you want to read it? Do you want to try reading that URL?
Why don't you pledge there, Dan? Have a look at this new poster that we've just put up there.
It's a great poster.
No, not that one.
Not that one?
Oh, there's some more.
Go into updates.
There's amazing updates.
Have a look at this. This beautiful art print. You can imagine you having one of these up in here.
There's also a baby onesie, a cooking apron, a very erotic art print.
This?
That is pretty erotic.
That's really neat. That's awesome.
It's so erotic. All I can hear right now in my left ear is a high-pitched buzzing.
Hmm.
Yeah.
We're doing
the sheer eroticism just blew out my eardrum.
Jermaine and I
your brain's
doing
it. Yeah.
So yeah, guys, check out a very erotic art print. Donate to the Kickstarter.
That's a reference to the movie, by the way, that character does.
It's not just a porn print.
Our characters don't have a television, so one does erotic dances for the others. So that's what... It's not really erotic.
Now,
I think that's open for interpretation.
Yeah, so of course. Of course, as anything is.
Yeah.
So the both of you wrote and directed this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, you guys
are we
you know,
starting again?
Yeah.
No, but
welcome to today.
I had a question about this.
We didn't punch each
Everyone asked, were there any problems when you guys code?
Did you guys ever,
no, he
it's
has
not
another
the first
question.
Time.
Has
did you guys ever punch each other?
Okay.
So, I guess my question is, were there any fights on set? So obviously you guys are best friends. You've worked on lots of things together.
It's so obvious how you see us together, hanging out like this.
I mean,
I have about 3 or 4 best friends who are best friends equal. I have to say that for the other friends and everyone's on the same.
Well, I just assumed because your hand was on Taika's lap the whole show.
Yeah,
so.
No, he prefers that. It helps him get through it.
Yeah.
So how did? So obviously, did you guys first like? decide you wanted to collaborate again together on a movie and then start brainstorming ideas? Or did one of you have the idea to do like a vampire movie first? And then, I guess, how did you come about?
We both equally had every idea and together.
1, 2, 3, vampires.
Same moment. And then
we would write lists of stuff we want to do. Like it might be a radio play, which is something that still exists in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Theatre shows, plays, all kinds of things, and movie was one of them. And
and
this is our first movie that we've written together. I acted in a movie of Taika's called Eagle vs. Shark a few years ago.
Do you guys find it difficult to direct yourselves in a scene?
Yes. That's hard, but there's two of us, so
yeah,
the other one can...
plan it out so you're never in the same scene together.
Yeah, that doesn't always work as well. And because we were shooting lots of footage in a short amount of time, sometimes we'd separate and I'd go with the crew and Tucker would go with the crew. And sometimes
that's efficient.
Yeah,
that's a really good idea.
Yeah, divide and conquer.
Yeah.
Because it's a mockumentary, it doesn't really matter if you look over to see what the camera's doing.
That's true. Smart.
Huh. Yeah.
Just make every movie
is that the
maker.
Second unit over there?
We just want everyone
to... What's for lunch?
Yeah.
Wonderful. Everybody go to that Kickstarter, donate, and buy some posters and help spread the word and help get what we do in shows.
Well, if you want to do that. If you want to do that, do that. But everybody see the movie regardless of whether you want
go
to
see
or not.
Yeah.
We actually just added some cool rewards, which are some season passes to the Stanley Film Festival.
Oh, really?
A great horror festival in Colorado.
Okay.
And that happens in May. And they play all sorts of amazing stuff and... We played there last year.
It's in the hotel that The Shining is based on.
Oh, in the Overlook?
Oh, wow.
Is it the Overlook?
I think
two different ones. The Stanley Hotel is where he wrote The Shining, and then they based it on the Overlook, I think.
Gotcha.
Is it called the Stanley Hotel? I thought it was named after Stanley Kubrick.
Oh, I can't remember.
Okay,
you should be looking this up.
And you can also you can come to the premiere and we do the Q&A and stuff, and you can even awkwardly touch us, like a handshake.
Ooh,
if you
an
want.
Awkward handshake.
And we had handshakes when you tell them what it was like when you shook your hand out my hand.
I slid through his hand, grabbed sort of onto your wrist, and then you like lightly scratched my wrist with a single fingernail. I think it was the pinky nail.
And would you have paid for that, you think, if you got a movie viewing with it, a Q&A, and some PDFs of the script, the original script,
if that experience was connected to some sort of crowdfunding platform,
I
would have donated an absurd amount.
Okay, well, that's what we're charging for that.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Guys, you got to get in on this.
In American dollars or New Zealand dollars?
It's all in American dollars. This is just for our American release.
Yeah.
This is the only tough country. Every other country it's playing, you know, in independent cinemas, you know, like Japan, Poland, even the Netherlands, Australia, England, Ireland. It's playing.
I've never even heard of half these countries.
No.
Yeah.
I think he's making these up. Ireland?
These guys are fact checking as we.
Ireland. Is that two R's or one?
Two lands?
The Stanley Hotel was built by Freeland Oscar Stanley of Stanley Steamers, the automobile.
The carpet cleaners?
Okay.
Oh, it's got nothing to do with Stanley Kubrick.
No. Well, I mean, other than the fact that he, you know, directed The Shining, but it was where it hosted Stephen King. It inspired him to write The Shining.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I always thought the festival was named after Stanley Kubrick. But it's named after the hotel. Yeah.
The hotel is now adding a hedge maze because for years they'd been asked, where's the hedge maze?
Yeah. And hopefully by the next one they'll have a tiny hedge maze.
Yeah, just growing. A little bush
just,
maze.
Just started
so
growing.
If you are
a seedling maze.
It'll be easy to solve.
If you are a newborn or you suffer from dwarfism, it'll be great.
You can just step over the walls. Just walk in a straight line through it.
Well, this won't be suffering from dwarfism.
No.
If you benefit from dwarfism.
Yes,
in this
exactly.
Case.
In this case, you win, we lose.
So, where can the audience find you guys on the social medias?
We're on the Facebooks.
And the Twitters. We're on Twitter. My name, his name.
No,
you've got an A at the beginning.
Mine's Jermaine Clement.
Jermaine, one of many. Jermaine Clement. I'm Taika Waititi. But with that, what do you call that thing?
An at.
An at sign.
The at symbol,
the
at symbol.
No, there is another. There is another name. I've forgotten it. Not the like ampersand.
No, the ampersand is like...
No, that's the and.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Epsilon. So what's the at then? Because they had that before.
It's usually just called an at sign.
Okay. Is this a...
No, it has a name. Fake? I know it.
It does. It's a...
Looking at it
normally read aloud as at is commonly called at symbol or commercial at.
Nicknames for it included snail, curl, strudel, whirl, and whirlpool.
Oh, the whirlpool.
The strudel.
I'm whirlpool Tiger Woods.
Okay, there are, and less commonly wide range of terms known as the at persand with a T and the strudel.
Is it called the at persand?
Yes.
That's,
I mean, not,
that's a made up one.
It seems like it's going to get confusing.
When was it made? When was the symbol?
It's got to have been made before the internet.
I thought when people typed out swear words, even on typewriters, they would be saying that as one of the symbols along with the hash.
Yeah.
And
well, that is called the Grolix when there's a bunch of like asterisks.
When you're trying to.
Yeah, and a Grolish, of course.
I know the Grolix, yeah.
A Grolis.
From asterisk.
But when did the at symbol originate and what was it originally called? Fact men.
It was not included on the keyboard of the earliest commercially successful typewriters, but was on at least one 1889 model.
Yeah, but so that was before Twitter, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Am I right?
1889.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, one would think.
So what was it used for back then?
It's a good question.
Just writing swear words? For cartoon characters?
Yeah, just covering up cartoon swear words.
Okay. The fact that there is no single word in English for the symbol has prompted some writers to use the French arrobase or Spanish and Portuguese arroba, or to coin new words such as aspersand, aspersat, and or ape tail.
Okay, I'm arroba Jermaine Clement.
It was first introduced in 1972. A gentleman named Ray Tomlinson sent the first email, and he used the at symbol to indicate the email address's location rather than writing out at.
Okay, so it's been at for a long time.
Yeah, it first became a standard key on typewriter keyboards in the 1880s and standard on QWERTY keyboards in the 1940s. And
there's a big gap. There's a big gap that no one's talking about, and they don't want us to know about.
What were they tweeting about?
People are going, okay, we're going to have emails soon, any day now.
They've promised
this thing. Let's throw this thing away. No, let's wait about 70 years.
The steam engine's going to change everything.
Okay. Yeah, so...
That's one way.
Yeah.
What We Do in the Shadows is on Facebook.
Yeah.
It's where you can find out everything.
Excellent. And you can see it in theaters this
February 13th.
Yeah, this Friday.
Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day.
At the Arclight and...
The Sunshine in New York.
Sunshine.
Mm-hmm. And then
a few other places.
In a week, a week later, the 20th, some more cities. And if our Kickstarter is successful, then we'll spread it nationwide like a mold.
Wonderful. Excellent.
I love
people
it.
People love mold.
I love it. Thanks, guys, for joining us. We're going to wrap up. I would be remiss. I know the answer is going to be you can't, but people have been blowing me up on Twitter to ask, do you have any information about your upcoming Flight of the Conchords tour?
We're thinking like a nice bunch of songs. Start off with something like kind of funky groove.
I like it. I love it.
And then build it up from there and then kind of end on a... kind of double whammy pow pow.
End on a thank you, I would.
And on thank you. We're going to end with thank you, everyone. We love you. And we're going to say that no matter what city we go to.
You've been the best audience.
Except, you know, sometimes we don't say that in Washington.
Really? Are they the worst audience?
So far, that's been my experience.
You're on notice, Washington.
You're on notice.
Washington State or Washington, D.C.?
D.C.
Okay.
Exclusive here.
Yeah.
Not Washington
State. We love it.
Honestly, I did look at the list that they've proposed, and we're thinking late summer, but...
just crossed out
and
D.C.
And I was like, why is Washington on here?
Yeah.
They're the worst.
Wonderful.
So rude.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, we appreciate you guys coming. We appreciate the audience for listening. Everybody go, you know, support them. Support the go see the movie. It's very, very funny. And tell all your friends to do the same thing. And you can follow us on
Twitter. Even people you don't know that well.
Yeah. Friends, enemies, anyone. Anyone in
if
your...
If you hate vampires, tell us.
Yeah, anyone in the sound of your voice.
Force them to do this.
If you're in the library and you see someone helping some girl learn how to write, tell them.
If you want to find out why there was a lot of behind-the-scenes fighting and punching, everything.
Well, guys, you can find us on Twitter. We are at TWL Podcast. You can shoot us an email, todaywelearnpodcast@gmail.com. We're also on Facebook, Today We Learned with Razzle and Dan.
The people listening know how to find you and they're listening.
You would presume so, but this might be their first entry point to the podcast because they see your names and they're like, oh, man, these guys are making What We Do in the Shadows. I'm super stoked in that movie. I donated to the Kickstarter, how do I find these other two guys?
Who the fuck are these other two dudes?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
And you can also find us personally on Twitter. I am at OsteoFerocious.
And my name is at...
My name is Razzle, too. There we go.
I'm at My Name is Razzle, too. And yeah, thanks again for everything, guys. And we really appreciate you guys joining us.
Thank you,
and everybody,
guys.
Go check out the movie.
We've seen it.
Yeah.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.